Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to Coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta. Sometimes light, sometimes serious, Coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
Good morning, up and down the Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Grady Deaton, and I'm here at Coffee, KYUK, where you can email me, coffee at kyuk.org, with any of your subsistence activities, your photos of those subsistence activities, and I'd even like to hear about who you are. Tell me your Yupik name, tell me your favorite berry, send me your favorite agudic recipe so I can include it. But I am enough about what I'd like you to do. I'm sitting here in the studio with someone who, you know, in Bethel, there's a lot of people who wear many hats. This is one gentleman that I've run across a couple times, and it's not that he wears many hats, it's that he's very busy. I think people like me look busy. This gentleman is busy. Anyway, he's Dennis Raines. He's the substance abuse counselor at Bethel Family Clinic. And just to give us a little bit of a heads up, Dennis, I know many people already have met you. Where are you from? Who are you? Who are your family? And if you have a Yupik name, share that, please, too.
My name is Jingak. That's my Yupik name. I got in Quig. My English name is Dennis Raines. My parents moved up here when I was 2 years old. I spent the first 2 years of my life on the Arizona in the Navajo and Apache reservations, and they transferred through the BIA in 76 to the village of Quinnahock. We lived there for 1 year, moved to Kotlik, Alaska, lived there for 2 years, moved to Kwikalingok, Alaska, lived there for 3 years, moved to Napakiak, Alaska, lived there for 5 years, and then moved to Point Hope, Alaska for 3 years. And in 1990, we moved back to Arkansas and lived there for 16 years. And in 2010, I came back to Alaska.
Well, tell me, Dennis, when you were in Arkansas for that bit, after growing up here in rural Alaska, what did you do? What did you do 16 to 30 over there?
I graduated high school, but I got involved in substance abuse. And I worked many jobs, and my life spiraled out of control. I went through 19 treatment centers from 1993 until 2006. And I fought addiction really hard, from everything from methamphetamine to huffing to alcohol, marijuana use, pills, opiates, the whole nine yards. And in December of 2006 is when I cried out to God. I said, God, if you're really real, like all these people confess so loosely with their mouths, you're going to have to change me, because every attempt I've tried to change myself has failed. And if you don't change me, I'm going to continue sticking a needle in my arm or blow my brains out. And after I said that, the next day, the doors opened up to this detox in Little Rock, Arkansas. I went there for 8 days, and then straight from there into this one-year-long program called Louisiana Teen Challenge, which is for adults. And that's where my life was changed, and I've been clean and sober ever since. And that was in December of 2006.
And then how long into your path of recovery did you decide to turn that around and give back 12-step style to your communities at large?
Well, there in that last rehab, I had this really strong urge, a desire, epiphany, so to speak, to come back to Alaska, where I was raised, and help plant faith-based programs. So I did three other schools before I came back to Alaska. And in 2010, the doors opened up, and I started a program here called Fire on Ice, which is recovery groups. And I've been doing that. I moved to Anchorage. I started a Adult and Teen Challenge, which is a 28-bed residential facility for men. I started that. I trained leaders to facilitate recovery groups in Anchor Point, and I promoted and raised funds and trained leaders to facilitate recovery groups up in Fairbanks. And May of 2016, I came back here. But when I moved back here in 2010, I went to work at PATC as a substance abuse counselor at the residential center. And that's where I got a lot of the training that I had, too.
Wow, spectacular. And congratulations on your path of recovery and continued accolades on sustaining that. I know that I struggle with those issues as well, and I want to tilt my brow at you, sir. Now, we did come in to talk about something special and close to my heart, and I know from talking to you before we got on air, close to yours as well, and that's bullying. As we're getting into the school year, starting up again, it's a good time to review this, and let me just ask you in the, because it segues from your experience growing up here in the village. I did mention I'd ask you this. What's your impression of bullying as the years have passed here in the Delta, from growing up in the villages to now, when you go out to schools and villages to talk on the issue?
Well, when I was growing up, I got bullied in some villages, but and as a result, I also did some bullying myself to keep from getting bullied. And if you can't beat them, join them. That's not the wisest thing to do, but that's the bad choice that I made. And as for going back to the villages and seeing kids and hearing stories from parents, the bullying is still going on, so nothing much has changed. And, you know, we're talking about the substance abuse thing earlier. That doesn't always, but it coincides with the bullying or can cause that. But bullying can play a detrimental role on the student or on the kids. You know, we're talking about youth right now and kids and their families. Man, it's just devastating. It's a travesty. And it has all kinds of effects. And it can have all kinds of effects on the person and the family.
Now, I don't think we have statistics in front of us to talk on that. We both know that we both understand those effects. But to the end of solutions-based talk, I know that Bethel Family Clinic and your team go out to villages to start educating schools and communities about the problem and ways to combat bullying. So tell me a little bit about those efforts.
Okay. Well, first of all, we like to encourage people to grow and learn from within their own community. We're just there as sounding boards. We're not the answer. We're not the cure. But we're just there to be like a help, a piece of the puzzle, okay? What I do when I go out there is I show people and the students what bullying is, what it's not. You know, it's not just teasing one time if everybody's included. It's not having conflict. It's not someone getting angry like one-time deals, but it's unwanted aggressive behavior. And so what we do is we tell kids, if you're being bullied, tell somebody, tell a friend, tell a parent, tell a teacher. You know, if these things don't work, then you tell the principal. If that doesn't work, then you go to the school board. You go to the police department if you have to. The thing is, be heard. Don't keep that stuff to yourself, because everybody deserves a shot at free education, man. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's really sad when people come there, because when bullying takes place, it affects that kid. They don't want to come to school. They drop out. They quit coming to school. They might turn to drugs and alcohol. I know even school shootings have been contributed from bullying. So these are things that we take really serious. I take serious and personal. And I think communities, families should be talking about this in their own household. You know, bullies just don't grow up bullies. Something's going on with that person. Maybe at home, maybe video games, not blaming anything, maybe video games or what they're watching on TV. And be interested in your kids. You know, talk to them. Invite them in. Sit at the family meals. I know today we live in a generation where everybody's separated because of technology with cell phones and stuff. But having meals together, coming together as a family maybe once a week or every so often just to talk and be real with each other, those things will help.
So, I lost my train for a second. So I was keying in on one particular point you made, and that's to reach out to your friends. I know that there's an escalating, levels of reporting, those kinds of things. I think the most important one is having good dialogues with your friends. If you see yourself bullied and you're talking to a friend about it and they're bullying you back, keep on looking for those friends, because it's our support networks that really build up, build our confidence in the world.
I'd like to say another thing too. There's the bully, the one being bullied, the bullier, and then there's bystanders. Okay, and I want to encourage the bystanders that if you see this going on, and if you don't say nothing and don't do anything, you're just as guilty as the bullier. So you stick up for your friend, your family member, whatever that is that's being bullied, or you be the one to go and tell somebody. And this needs to be taught to the kids, because nobody deserves to be picked on. And if you're the one bullying people, you know, just stop, apologize. And go on, talk to you. If you're hurting inside, go talk to a teacher or a school counselor or your mom and dad and talk to them about that. because hurt people hurt people. And the people that are doing the bullying are hurt. When I bullied, I was hurt, but I didn't talk to anybody about that. So I want to encourage you to, if you are the bully, to get help. Talk to your mom and dad. Talk to a teacher, a counselor, or somebody that you trust.
Yeah, you might not even know, you know, what causes you to act out. You might just feel out of control as the bullier. And keying in on the bystander issue, you know, reach out to that person you see being bullied. Talk to your teachers. Try to abolish this culture of bullying that we have, partly due to the bully, partly due to the bystanders. And, you know, one thing I like to talk about, too, as it relates to bullying, and that's the pattern of microaggressions that we all tend to kind of do as a part of our human nature, and we don't really pay attention to enough. And I think that kind of can contribute to a culture of bullying. So, like, pay attention to how you engage with the people in your life. The microaggressions, you might not even notice that when you make a joke with your coworker, that you're maybe acting out an internal drama or an internal problem that you might need to exercise and work out a healthy manner. And those microaggressions, they kind of build up, they cycle, they create an atmosphere that is charged in this way that is conducive to being that silent bystander, that's conducive to not speaking out against these types of engagements. I'm gonna do you want to take a short music break, or you have something to say on that?
I'd like to address, you know, bullying just doesn't happen in the school, but that's what we're focused on because we're going out to the villages. But bullying happens in the workplace too, you know, and you know, anybody with authority can abuse power, and that's bullying too. But coworkers can bully other coworkers or leave people out. It can be racial. It can be financial, or, you know, your family status, social status, hierarchy. And you can use subtle ways that we can bully other people by maybe leaving people out, you know. It doesn't have to be just physical. There's social bullying. There's cyberbullying. Mm. And we'll talk about those later, but we can get into a whole deep well with that.
I'm going to take a short moment, give us a chance to catch our breath, and I'm going to jump into a song I'd like everyone to hear. This one's kind of funny. It's a bluegrass-styled song by a gentleman named Bill Kiefer. Here comes the coffee song.
I love coffee, and coffee loves me. Whether I have it black or light, it's a delight, you see. Early in the morning is when I like my coffee a lot. Relaxing in the sunshine, I'll drink more than just one pot. For me, I like it black with a little sweet and very, very hot. I have a special ceramic coffee cup. Sipping coffee with my sweetheart means quite a lot. Arabica coffee beans has a great taste. Robusta coffee beans, best known as Cannafora, has very little waste. Mellow and rich are the Kona coffee beans. Oh my! Dark, French, Mexican, or espresso, the great taste doesn't lie. Guatemalan, Mexican, Sumatran, blends may be the very best. Gathering with loved ones at the coffee shop, just kick back and rest. Brewing coffee at home or pulling in a drive-thru coffee hut. Kitchen table, Starbucks, espresso bar, just drinking great coffee gets you out of your daily rut. On the eighth day, God created coffee so that people like me could enjoy those other 7 days, maintaining my sanity. If heaven has a flavor, it would be coffee, you know. Also as Java or another cup of Joe. Should I kill myself or pull in at Starbucks drive-thru? Coffee is not a beverage. It's a moment of pleasure for me and you. Two kinds of conversation needed for a marriage or just tweet. Coffee talk, pillow talk. They both should be warm and sweet. I love coffee, and coffee loves me. Whether I have it black or light, it's a delight, you see. Early in the morning is when I like my coffee a lot. Relaxing in the sunshine, I'll drink more than just one pot. For me, I like it black with a little sweet and very, very hot. I have a special ceramic coffee cup. Sipping coffee with my sweetheart means quite a lot.
So that's that was a cool song I grabbed from online yesterday, the coffee song. That was, again, Bill. Where did I write his name down? I thought I wrote his name down somewhere. Sorry about that. The coffee song by Bill Kiefer. Now, we were talking about bullying. I want to cover some things. You know, if there's been a crime or someone is immediately at risk of harm, you always want to call 911. But if you know someone's feeling hopeless, helpless, or thinking of suicide, you can contact the National Suicide Prevention Hotline online, or you can call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. That toll-free call goes to the nearest crisis center in our national network, and these centers provide 24-hour crisis counseling and mental health referrals. If someone's acting differently than normal, such as always seeming sad or anxious, struggling to complete tasks, or not being able to care for themselves, find a local counselor or mental health service. Mental health and addiction insurance help. Consumer portal prototype can help consumers get the correct resource to solve their mental health and substance use disorder insurance issues. A child being bullied in school can contact the teacher, can contact the school counselor, can contact the school principal, the school superintendent, the State Department of Education. And there's obviously resources online for finding out how you can work more closely with your school to handle bullying. If your school is not adequately addressing harassment based on race, color, national origin, sex, disability, or religion, you can contact the superintendent, the State Department of Education, or the U.S. Department of Education or Justice for civil rights violations. I just wanted to cover some of those things about bullying just to get some national numbers out there. But, of course, Bethel Family Clinic is doing its part. You guys go out to villages and host these seminars and information sessions. Tell me some more about Bethel Family Clinic.
So in behavioral health, there is Joan Dewey, who is a licensed clinical social worker. And we have Barbara Force, which is the LPC. And those are master level clinicians. And then I do substance abuse counseling also. So we travel out to villages. We talk to schools, the students. We talk to the tribal communities. And if you would like us to come to your community, give us a call at 543-3773. Again, 543-3773. If you would like a substance use assessment or a mental health assessment, give us a call at 543-3773, and we can make an appointment. We take Medicaid. We have a a sliding fee scale. We take private insurance, and you're welcome to call us if you need help or know somebody who needs help, and we can make an appointment, schedule an appointment for an assessment and to be seen.
So, Dennis, not to move away, but I do have some light questions for you. You know, I ask all of our, you know, we focus on subsistence, and we are, of course, in the berry time of year. So, not to make light of the very important topic that we're talking about, bullying, I do want to segue a little bit away because we only have a few minutes left. What is your favorite berry?
Oh, my favorite berry is by far the salmon berry.
Yeah? What do you like about it specifically?
I love the taste of it, the texture of it, and how it goes with Crisco and sugar.
Boy, I love the color of the salmon berry juxtaposed against the blueberry. Boy, what a good combo that is. Yep. Is that orange and that blue bouncing. Now, if you were a berry, would it be a salmon berry or would it be another berry?
It'd probably be a blueberry.
Okay. Do you have and I'm just going through the list. Do you have a favorite agoutic recipe or a person that you know that you want to give a shout out to for being the best agoutic chef?
The best agoutic is Laura Perez from Mountain Village. Uh-huh. She has the best agoutic, man. She the salmon berry agoutic I can't give away the recipe.
No, don't give away the recipe, but you can give a shout out to her for being your favorite.
Thank you, Laura. And thank you, schools and tribal councils that let us come into your village last year. I really, really appreciate that. And we're here. Give us a call if you want us to come back. We do community events, and we also do events at schools and talks to the kids. So we're here if you want us to come. We're more than welcome to come out. And we have a grant that covers this, so it's no cost to you. We would come there, do it, and there's no cost to the school or to the community.
All right. So, of course, villages, village elders, or the school districts can always reach Bethel Family Clinic at 543-3773, and they can speak to Dennis Raines or any of the professionals over at Family Clinic to get engaged with all of the many resources that you offer, including the bullying seminars, but you also have substance abuse screenings and counseling available as well, and many, many more, the whole gamut of mental health capacity. Yep. Yeah. So we have just a few more minutes. So I didn't ask you about your off-air or on. I haven't asked you if you fish. Are you a fisherman?
I haven't fished this year, but I like to. I haven't fished in a couple of years, but I love to fish. I haven't had the time.
What other subsistence activities do you participate? You know, having grown up here, are part of your
duck
rituals?
Hunting, goose hunt. I love duck hunting, goose hunting, and fishing. Those are my favorite. I haven't been moose hunting yet, but I look forward to doing that.
All right. Well, Dennis, I want to thank you for being a quite enjoyable guest. I've had a good time talking with you about
thank
very
you.
Important stuff and also a little bit light. And I'm very happy that we had a chance to sit down and talk. Our ships have passed in the night. Many
yep.
times we've shook hands and met, but I had a chance to sit with you for 30 minutes, and I really enjoyed it. I hope that when there's something to announce, you'll be out with us again.
Sure.
I only have a few seconds to tell everyone to not forget to be awesome to each other.
Yes.
Each weekday, a member of the community is invited to coffee at KYUK to discuss news and information relevant to Bethel and the Kuskokwim Delta.
Sometimes light, sometimes serious, coffee at KYUK is where our community connects.
If you'd like to suggest a guest or arrange to be on with us yourself, contact us at coffee@kyuk.org or call 543-3131 today.